News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. Mobile Mornings at about 8:07, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. He is back, Dalton Arwig. Much thanks to Leanna and Sean filling in while you were away.
I was traveling the world, man.
That's Jeff Poor. He has been traveling the world. I think I saw a picture of him and his little blonde boy at another ballpark. It was a soccer match in Dusseldorf. I mean,
were the Braves playing?
No, the Braves were not playing.
But they would have lost if they were.
He'd been around. Now, you were more local and you got a chance to enjoy the beach.
Yeah, down at the beach. Love it. And had a great time. It's wild. And, you know, I feel bad. And because, you know, my wife and I, we both work the old 9 to 5. Yeah. Although for me, it's obviously different hours. Yeah. But I work all the time. She does too. And we try to set aside plenty of time for our children, 4 years old and 6 years old. But we don't, you know, we don't homeschool. Even during the summer, they go to summer care and all that. So when we get to spend a full week with them,
yeah,
it's amazing the strides they make in whatever it is they're attempting. Like, usually it's swimming. We get so much time with them in the summer. We're always heading to the pool. And then especially when we're down at the beach, lots of jellyfish talk this week because and we've got them trained on the flags as we walk down.
Okay, so they know what the flags mean. That's good.
Yeah,
you had stormy weather down there too.
There was plenty of that, but it's funny the way they think about things. So we quiz them as we're on the way down to the beach, and for much of this week we had a yellow flag flying and a purple flag, and so we'll ask, and Izzy goes, "Yellow flag means that the water is not perfect." I forget how she said it. She's like, "It's a little dangerous."
Yeah.
And the purple flag means there's creatures. So I think maybe back when we were training them up on this, I said, there's sea life, you know, there's critters out there. That's what the purple flag means. So that became creatures. And every time she says that, I picture, you know, the Loch Ness Monster or something swimming around out there. But the jellyfish were insane. And I don't know if I've ever seen this, but so many visitors down there, they were scooping up the jellyfish. And they had built their own little pools up on the sand. And they were just scooping out all the jellyfish and putting them in their own little... And some of them weren't even putting water in there. They were just putting them in like a... They built a little circle and were putting them on sand. And I'm like, man, that just seems diabolical, just about putting these... putting these creatures...
Well, first of all, why would you want to handle a jellyfish?
Well, they have the scoops. They have the, you know, the nets that they're put. But I saw several that were like, even a little kid that was about to pick one up by hand. I'm like, okay, where are your parents? But there were a lot of jellyfish that freaked out the girls. And I said, you know, it's fine. You could be out here. You'll be. But that was certainly something. But just watching them swim in the pool, it's amazing how quickly they have. I mean, at the beginning of the summer, my 4 year old really wasn't doing much swimming without her life vest on, without her floaty.
Sure.
And we went to Orlando earlier this year, did a lot of swimming there, and at some point she just ripped that floaty off and started swimming around, which was great. But this week you'd have thought she's been swimming without a floaty or whatever for her whole life. I mean, they were jumping in the 5 foot lane of the pool and swimming to us and swimming back and holding their head underwater.
That's a good point about that. When you're with them, when you have an extended time with them, you're able to really kind of see some of the growth.
Yeah.
And their agility, their confidence, you know.
Even up in the room, you know, reading, just watching the six-year-old learn to read and getting better and better. It's so cool. It does make me feel bad, though, because I know there's a lot of parents out there who spend much more time with their children. And it's not that I don't want to. It's just that, you know, for many people, you got to work. You just have to.
Yeah.
Well, or you won't be able to go to the beach or whatever it may be.
You're working to provide for them.
But,
they're great kids. And I like to see them a little more often, you know, if you wouldn't mind. But they're both kind of athletic and they're both very bright and they're sisters. And I guess they kind of get on each other's nerves.
They do.
Bit.
There's a lot of that this week, too.
And by the way, the purple flag in Scotland does mean the Loch Ness Monster.
It does. Yeah. You can't go in because the Loch Ness is out there.
Yeah. If you see a purple flag and you're in Scotland, stay out of the water.
So we did go to Tropic Falls, and, you know, that's the water park at Owa. And we've done the Owa thing several times now. This is probably our fourth time over the last 4 years, I guess, going to Owa. And pre-water park, we went out there, and they were itty-bitty then. So we didn't really do much, you know, as far as rides are concerned. And then last year, we did the same thing, went to the water park. They weren't really swimming much. Izzy was, but she didn't want to go down slides, which is pretty much...
That's a water park.
That's what there is. Yeah. We basically just kind of stayed in the wave pool then. This year, they did the slides they could do, which were all but two of them because of the height limit. And I know there's a lot of Owa haters, and I think there's a lot of work that could be done. Like, they could get many more tenants downtown, although they continue to fill that up, mm-hmm. downtown Owa, with more and more places. But, I mean, it's a little expensive. It's a great time right there in Foley. You can have a day. You can have several days just going up there, especially with the kids.
Yeah, and so the expense is something you want to make note of. You want to know what you're getting into, right? You say, understand, it's going to cost X amount. But you spent like most of the day there. When you're on vacation, you're going to be spending money one thing or another. And the fact that you were able to spend nearly all of Monday in one place.
Yeah.
Kids are safe. You're out of the heat because they were swimming inside the
water. It's indoor. Yeah. Yeah. And it still kind of heats up, but it was a nice overcast day also, which helped out.
I got to check that out. I mean, I've been to Owa, to the downtown area. I don't think I've ever been in the theme park. I haven't ridden on any of the rides or anything like that, so I can't speak to it. But you're right. It's right there. Why not?
Yeah, and you know, so many of those places, and I know things are changing now that we're at the tail end of summer and school starting. For my girls, today was the first day of school. But pretty much anywhere you go in Gulf Shores or Orange Beach, if you show up at 5 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock, you're going to be waiting a long time just to get in and get a table.
Yeah.
The Owa restaurants are pretty dang good. I mean, some good stuff, and they never have a wait. So I've never had to wait to get into one of those restaurants.
At the end of your day on Monday, did you eat there?
We did. Yeah. Okay. Groovy Goat Sports Bar.
Cool.
Really awesome place. Unfortunately, just like so many of the other times I've gone to restaurants there at Owa, no one's in.
Yeah, don't.
There were maybe four tables that had people there, and we were eating at 6 o'clock. Which is pretty insane that there were so few people there.
Keep your complaints down about finding a place to eat at the beach.
I know,
right?
Yeah.
So you want to say, I wish.
Well, it's more worrisome. I'm worried that.
Worried that they're not going to make it. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a good time.
Yeah, well, so we're transitioning now from, and you know, when you talked about it too, you said, look, I'd like to get away, you know, one more getaway before school starts, which made perfect sense to me. Like, yeah, man, absolutely do it. But now you're going right there from the beach and having a really cool time, you know, away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's going to be all buttoned up and school. When do they start? Next
week?
They
start today. Yeah.
What, today?
Today and tomorrow for the girls. And I know most schools have started. Maybe some won't get started until Monday, but I think most are pretty much underway at this point. And Izzy spent all day yesterday showing me how she can tie her new school shoes. So that was the new hot thing in the Orwick household, was tying and untying and tying our shoes over and over and over again.
That's great.
And she's doing all the sports this year too. Flag football. So I have a football player in the household.
I love it.
For the first time.
I love it.
And cheering. Yeah, it's a good time. And I know I got a text from Travis this morning. He said, Saraland schools started today.
Yep.
Traffic is nuts around the schools right now.
Yeah, Saraland schools, and they're very, very nice. Obviously, state of the art. And they've done a wonderful job up there. But that is a community that is fighting a little bit with the traffic problems in that town, and especially in the school zones beginning today.
Let's see. Dan and Daphne texting, hey, good morning. This is not meant to be a downer, but just a word of caution. I don't love that when I haven't pre-read this, but let's go. My daughter started swimming at a very early age, too. She was actually taking lessons at the YMCA, and during one of those lessons, I thought I would get in the pool too, but just more towards the deeper end. It's actually a different pool. And I was standing there in the water about waist deep with my back turned to where my daughter was, and the class had ended. So all the other kids went to their parents, and my daughter came to me in the water. I had no idea she was in the water until I felt her grab my ankle. If I had been another foot or two, I'm not sure she would have survived.
Wow.
She just had no concept that she couldn't swim that far. So my point is, even though they're excellent swimmers, never turn your back on them because it almost cost me dearly. Yeah, I appreciate that, Dan, and I fully realize that. I'm not sure if everyone else does. I'm a helicopter parent in the water. I don't leave them. I keep my eye on them.
I think you have to be. And it's Lacey from Tobias on that ad talks about how drownings are actually pretty quiet.
Yeah.
They're not like when you watch it on a TV show or the movies and people are flailing and people are screaming and everybody has their attention on the person who's in distress. And she was advising the fact that no, usually it's not that way at all. And then it's too late.
Yeah. Quiet. And it happens. Yep. But you know, even when I'm looking at them and have them at arm's length, and they're trying to hold their breath or see how far they can swim down. Mm-hmm. I still don't know. So I'll drag them out of the water, and they'll go, "Whoa, why'd you do that?" Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I didn't know if you were drowning or not.
Yeah.
So a lot of that going on. Natalie,
can they mock you and swim at the same time? I know that's their other thing.
They're good at that. And I'm worried they are becoming better swimmers than me now. So it might be tough to keep up.
Once they get that swimming down, the swimming mocking combination is going to come straight at you.
Natalie says, you may be surprised, Dalton, for majority of us Foleans, OWA is pricey. I agree with that, but just for visiting down there.
Well,
right?
and again, you're on vacation. Mm-hmm. You've budgeted for it. You're going to be down there. If you're going to go, that's the time to go.
Locally, the Mexican restaurants, Texas Roadhouse, Baumhauer's, and Buffalo Wild Wings are packed just about every day. Yeah, I can imagine, Natalie. I would not like that if those were my options and they were that packed up. Rock and Roll Doctor says, it seems like yesterday when my oldest was entering kindergarten. This year he's a high school senior. It goes by way quick. Enjoy the little moments because they'll be over before you know it. And Backstrap Stacker says, wait until next week when St. Paul's and UMS start. Old Shell will be a parking lot. James texting in, it should be mandatory for kids, especially in the South, in learning to swim. I agree. Remember that years ago, was it two students from South Alabama who drowned in just a few feet of water? Do you remember that story at all?
I don't.
It was so strange because there wasn't. It was almost like they could have stood up or something like that. But that was a tragic story involving some college kids.
Wow.
That might have been a decade ago.
Was that like down at the beach somewhere?
I think it might have been in one of the rivers or something like
that.
I'll have to go look back at that. 251-343-0106. Also, I have the Pick'em up. So it's free to join right now. If you played last year with the Run Your Pool Pick'em, when you log in, if you go to your login for what you used last season, and I know there were over 650 of you that played along last year.
All-time record.
It will ask you if you want to rejoin the group. So when it does that, just say yes, and you'll be in for this year's version of the College Pick'em, the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em. I have the first games of the week picked, so the first 10 games for week one of the college season. I think you can, once those lines are up, those Vegas lines, you'll be able to put your picks in for week one. And for those of you that have not played, we will get some links up on our social media, or you can text in to 251-343-0106 and I'll get that link over to you. But over the next couple weeks, we will let you know what the big prize is, who's sponsoring this year's FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em, and more details on how you can play. But that's always a good time.
We'll have our Dan and Dalton football, college football podcast. We'll be back up and going. It's a good weekly listen.
Feinbaum Fridays.
Feinbaum Fridays, every Friday. Paul Feinbaum on FM Talk 106.5, brought to you by Bryant Banks. So, here we go, football. Yeah.
And in 2 weeks, Tiger Talk and Tiger Talk Overtime get started as well on Tuesday nights. And remember, that first Auburn game is actually a Friday night game. So, coverage here on FM Talk 106.5, Friday, August 29th against Baylor.
And as a Georgia fan, I can tell you, a lot of the talk of Georgia's upcoming season and their upcoming schedule isn't necessarily the game at home that they're talking about. They got games at home against like Alabama and Ole Miss, Texas, because they had to play all those games on the road last year. But they're wary about going to Jordan-Hare, going to Knoxville. Georgia's got a tough schedule. Yeah. And some of those teams might be good enough to challenge them.
Tennessee's playing Florida later in the year. They're normally like week two or week three for them.
Right.
But Georgia-Tennessee will be early in the year this year.
Yeah, up in Knoxville, but week three, I think. 821, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Just about 26 minutes after 8 o'clock now, we will talk with Rob Holbert from Lagniappe Mobile and look at some of the local and statewide issues that they're tackling over there. Maybe we'll get around to big balls here before it's all done with this morning.
Big balls fighting everybody in D.C.
Getting beaten up on D.C. out on the date at 3 in the morning. He's the software engineer, Doge guy.
Mm-hmm.
Only 19 years old.
Yeah.
But he
I don't know if he's with Doge anymore. I think he might have stepped away from Doge, but clearly didn't leave D.C. I was reading yesterday that, and what's his name again? Do you have that up there?
His name is Edward Korstein.
Yeah, probably need to use his real name here on the old FCC airwaves. Although I think you can say big balls. But
big balls, big balls, big balls.
I was reading that his grandfather was a spy who was executed in Moscow.
Whoa.
Like a CIA spy. Yeah. And was executed.
Should have reserved that name for him.
Seriously.
Maybe he had that name back in the day.
This is Big Balls the Third, I guess, that was in D.C. with a date and ends up getting beat up pretty much.
He was outraged about it. He actually put something out on Truth Social talking about Washington, D.C. If it doesn't get its act together and quickly, we'll have no choice but to take federal control over the city and run it the way it should be run.
Big Balls was the last straw.
Mad about the violent crime in D.C.
Also, what's with the teasing, the political teasing this year? It seems like there's more than normal. We're still waiting for Congressman Barry Moore, to tell us what we all know.
Well, and Tuberville teased. We knew what was coming. Barry Moore is teasing. Mm-hmm. We know what is coming.
And now
Jerry Carl is teasing.
Carl's teasing. So he said there will be an announcement coming up. I mean, obviously, he's probably going to run again for AL1, right, after losing to Barry Moore just last year. And
His possible opponent
also teasing.
Teasing.
Yeah, State Representative Rhett Marks, or is it Marquis? Marquis de Enterprise is what I want to call the guy. Like Marquis de Lafayette.
I like that.
Marquis de Enterprise. so that looks like the two, at least now, that will likely run for AL1. Obviously, you know, Barry Moore is out of Enterprise, and he did really well in that AL1 race, but he was already a sitting congressman, right? So I don't know how this Rhett Marks would poll or is polling.
Maybe he's going to poll real good in his home area. Also, Barry Moore did a great job in Baldwin County.
He did.
That helped him a lot.
That was very surprising.
Yeah, that was the key spot where Carl had to win and did not. So again, if Jerry Carl's going to try to win that and he has an opponent from that other side of the state, if he does poorly in Baldwin County, no matter what, it'd be tough for him to win.
It really will. Hopefully, we'll see with Carl's name recognition.
Well, we don't know that he's running because he's just teasing.
It's just a tease. So, yeah, not completely confirmed at this point. But it was, you know, Shamari Figures was in town for the Coast Guard event that they had, I guess, was that just a couple days ago?
Yes,
Representative Figures in town.
Yeah, that was Friday morning, maybe?
If this Enterprise state representative ends up winning AL1 and Carl loses again, if they both end up running, I mean, at that point, if you're a Baldwin County voter, you got to be like, man, what do we have to do to get some local representation? Yep. I guess maybe it would start with voting for Jerry Carl.
That would be it. I mean, if you're a Baldwin County voter, it's more than likely going to be in your hands. Mm-hmm. What's going on here? Who do you want to represent you? And Moore did a good job of schmoozing him last time around.
Yeah. So, of course, you know, we're 3 weeks out from less than 3 weeks out from these municipal elections, and that's the big story right now. After that, though, we're going to hear a whole lot more about midterms in 2026.
We're going to talk to Rob Holbert with Lagniappe. That's a radio tease. He's on the way on FM Talk 106.5. Team is back intact. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. good to have you back, Dale.
Thanks, man. I had so much alone time with the family this week. I finally watched the first 30 minutes of Happy Gilmore 2, so I'm looking forward to watching the rest of it at some point.
That's what happens when you're a parent of small kids, right, Rob? You watch movies in segments. You can't even, you can't even watch them all at once. Rob Holbert is with Lanyap.
And another busy edition of Lanyap this week. So much news, so little time. Rob, you guys are doing a great job. I guess I want to start with your opinion article this week, your Damn the Torpedoes, because we've seen plenty of forums at this point, even a debate. And you've noticed what a lot of people have noticed, and that's that can't seem to get off of the topic of crime, which everyone realizes is probably, you know, the top issue. That's what each one of the candidates will tell you. But you can only do and say so much about that. And you're ready to hear about some of the other topics that are important to you and should be important to folks around here.
Yeah, I mean, I think I feel like at this point we ought to all just concede that all of them are against crime. They all basically are saying the same thing. They're going to, you know, community policing, et cetera, et cetera. And just let's get on to some of the other subjects, because the crime issue, yes, it is important. But, you know, I just hate to tell people crime's going to be with us 20 years from now. We're going to have crime. It is, you know, I don't think it's going to go away because we have a new mayor. And some of these endemic problems that we have, I don't think any mayor is going to just make that magically stop, you know. And so we have a lot of other issues that we need to know about. If people want to separate from the pack here, you know, you have four candidates. We need to find out some other, the things that they're talking about with detail and other issues, you know, public transportation, the parks, what are they going to do with Bayfront Park? Are they going to finish it? How are they actually specifically going to take care of blight and litter? I mean, you know, I hear a lot of, yeah, we're going to look at that. That's going to be a priority. We're going to have, a study on this there's not a lot of real specifics. Maybe I'm picking on them a little bit because they didn't have a lot of time in the last debate to answer questions in great detail, but I think could have a little more detail on these issues. And I think we're going to have it to make a decision. I mean, you know, we really need to have that, to have somebody really break out if they want to.
Yeah. And you point out in your piece there that blight, I mean, that's kind of a two birds, one stone issue in a way, window theory. If you take care of blight, that might help with the crime problem some.
It does. It always does. And, you know, those are issues. But, I mean, I think that, you know, we've talked about blight. I mean, just talking about blight in general, we've talked about blight for as long as I've been doing Lanyap, 23 years now. And it's not significantly changed. There have to be some real issues that, you know, as I said in my column, I want the people who have blighted properties to feel like the Iranians did when Reagan took office. You know, you got to give the hostages back. We got to take care of this. Something's about to happen. You know, that's the way it needs to be. We need to have some, there's got to be some real issue, you know, some real effort on blight and litter. Those things have to be taken care of in a different fashion than they've been.
I mean, they're right in front of our face, Rob. Why would something that obvious just get overlooked?
Yeah, I get it. It's an intractable issue, but it's one that takes, you're going to have to steel yourself to do it. But we also can't say, well, we'll do it once we get 100 more police officers, or you know, if we have more cops, we can take care of these things. That's going to take time. If that's the plan, if that's somebody's plan to do that, we can't sit and wait until that happens. We need to have a plan to do things with. When we've had a full number of police, we still have blight, we still had trash. So, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to take care of the issue.
And shame on me as well, because we've had some candidates in here and the opportunity to ask them questions. And I think after our last candidate interview, it came to me, I went, you know, I'd really like to know what they think about this whole dredging issue and what's going on with the spoil. And that kind of ties into your lead story as well. But I know it's a state issue and they're trying to make it a federal issue as well. But I think that's important to know what the mayor or possible mayor of Mobile thinks about something that so many people are fired up about right now.
I think the mayor needs to speak to issues like the dredge spoils in the bay. I think the mayor needs to speak to issues like the burying of toxic coal ash in the Delta alongside the Mobile River, which is our second, you know, it's our backup source of drinking water. I think the mayor needs to speak to issues like, you know, the use of Big Creek Lake for recreation, whether that should be or shouldn't be. You know, those things I think are issues the mayor should speak to. It's kind of a cop-out sometimes to say, well, that's a federal issue. It's not a federal issue. It's here. It's a local issue, you know, and the, you know, the mayor has some weight in these things. And so, you know, it's important for them to take note of that, I think, and to say something about it. And I'd like to hear those things. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's a comfort level for all the candidates in talking about crime, you know, and they like to talk about crime because it is comfortable and it's easy and it's, everybody hates crime. And you're not going to get any backlash from saying we're against crime. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but there are issues where people in this community have divisions on it or have different thoughts about it. And, you know, taking a stand on some issues that are important may get you some backlash from folks who don't agree with you. But, you know, we do need to know those things. And I think the mayor is going to have, you know, it's an incredibly busy job. It really is. And there's, you know, a ton of things that they have to deal with. It just can't be, you know, as said in our podcast, we can't, you know, we're not hiring Batman. We're trying to, you know, somebody to fight crime. We crime fighting is part of it, but it is really important to handle all these other things. And then also just some aspirational stuff about what do you see in Mobile for 20 years from now? Mm-hmm. You know, where are we in the future? What is Mobile going to play a role in AI and all those things?
I think we're not going to have any choice with AI. It's coming at us all. But also, Rob, there's another chance because at the Business Expo a week from today, at Sean Sullivan's Midday Mobile, we'll be set up there, and we made the decision as a radio station to go ahead and turn that show basically into maybe the final debate before the voting happens.
Yeah, so that'll be a good opportunity to get some of these questions asked as well, and maybe a little less of the focus on the crime. But yeah, I'm hoping, and I'm sure Sean will ask something about this dredging issue. I really thought it was a great article that you had, and Grant McLaughlin, I guess, and the featured story this week, talking to the oyster farmers and others that make their living off of working the water, working down at the bay, working wherever, and how this is affecting them. Some interesting thoughts coming from the people whose livelihoods are affected by this.
Well, yeah, the folks who are raising oysters in the bay say they're all dying. You know, they're dying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're a little bit divided on exactly why that's happening, but you know, certainly a large number of them feel like the sediment from the dredging that is being spread back out into the bay, the dredge spoils being pumped back into the bay are increasing the turbidity or the murkiness of the water and creating problems. You know, there's some who say maybe there's other issues with it, maybe even bacterial problems. But a lot of the folks that are doing this and have worked the waters for years say this is really creating a problem here. And, you know, it is something that I think we'd need some answers to. You know, at one point, you know, back in the 80s, the Corps of Engineers study said dumping stuff in the bay was not what we should be doing. We should be taking it out to either deep water or finding upland ways to use it or ways to use it beneficially, you know, around the bay, you know, shoring up shoreline and things like that. But, you know, then it switched. They switched it. There was an emergency situation where they needed to dredge in the channel, and they started doing this placement around the bay, and then they've just kind of switched it. And, you know, now they've changed their tune as well. Now this is the most beneficial because the bay is losing sediment and it needs nutrients or something that it's digging out, you know, being dug out from 50 feet down, I guess. But, you know, there's a lot of folks who feel pretty strongly that that's an issue. And, you know, certainly a lot of the folks who are catching fish and oysters around the bay have seen some problems with it.
And it's more than a theory for some of them. I mean, it's obvious, the evidence here. Yeah. Like this quote from Kerry Mitchell really kind of struck me in the story, director of the Alabama Commercial Fishermen Association. The reef is literally covered in inches of silt that wasn't there before. It's not normal for it to be like that. You're going to have a little mud here and there on a natural oyster reef, but not just completely covering the whole reef.
I mean, I think the terminology, thin layer placement, it sounds
harmless.
Precise and harmless, yep. And like this little bit of, but when you see what's being done, it's just blowing out of the end of a of a pipe, and it doesn't seem like it's very accurate to me. I mean, it just looks like if you're dumping stuff in the water, it's going to drift around. I'm not an engineer. It just seems logical to me that if you're pushing stuff back into the water like that, some of it's just going to go right back into the channel. But, you know, it just seems like a perpetual motion machine in a way. It just keeps dredging and dredging. I mean, I know you've got to dredge, but it's to keep the ship channel depth. But, I mean, it does seem like there's maybe better ways to do it.
There's better ways. And if it's a matter of money, the Corps of Engineers trying to save money or not spend the money that it would take to do the practice where you take it out to sea, out to the Gulf of America, if it's money, is that where Tuberville and Britt might come in, where there's actually going to be, I mean, can they lend any momentum to this move to change the process? I mean, they could, but do you think they will?
I mean, I know Katie Britt has spoken about it pretty extensively, and I think Tuberville has as well, but, there needs to be some motion on it. Right. We can study and study and study, or we could just say, don't do it anymore and let's see what happens. Yeah. I mean, there's two ways to do it, but, you know, I don't know how long a study will take. In the meantime, are all the oysters in the bay killed? Does it turn into a dead zone for that? There are some things here that we have to decide, it's a lifestyle issue as well, mm-hmm. And do we want that? And, I think the port in the story, their kind of take on it was, look, we spent hundreds of millions of dollars on this, and we have to have every available option to get rid of the dredge spoils. And yeah, but that kind of sounds like we're putting money first, That's the most important thing.
But short-term money. I mean, you think about the long-term economic effects. That's different story as well. And I wish we had more time, but an update to a story that you guys not only have been all over, but we're really the genesis of looking into this.
Yeah,
and
good job.
Ruling by Circuit Judge Michael Windham yesterday with the South Alabama Medical and Rehab Center said that, they're shuttered until further
notice.
Shut
them down. Yep. Yeah. I shut them down. Scott Johnson did this story, and he has been all over it, and it's been he's done a fantastic job with it. And it really, I mean, to have this clinic that really is basically just a factory for people who get in accidents to try to drag them in there and sign deals with lawyers. And I mean, it's just connected to all these RICO cases and all sorts of just bad activity. And I'm glad to see the DA's office shut it down, and glad we could be part of it. That's what, that's what journalists are supposed to do. And, glad to see us doing some of that. And making a difference.
Have you started on the screenplay for this, because it's been quite the story? Maybe Scott needs to get started on the screenplay now that he's
it's definitely something crazy. It's pretty wild stuff.
They are shut down, and yet there are, Dalton and I were talking about this earlier as you read Scott's story, they're still okay, they've shuttered them, but really there's still unanswered questions about how they got access to all that information.
Yes, they're still, I mean, I think that's a really big issue. They need to figure out how are they getting people's information after wrecks. And, it looks very clearly like there's some people in the system who are feeding information to these lawyers and this business. And that's got to stop, and they've got to figure out how to make it stop.
Yeah, well, I think this operation has been stopped thanks to Scott and
that one has.
Yep. Yeah.
Good stuff as always, Rob. For folks, they can pick up the latest issue of Lagniappe on stands now in the purple boxes, but better yet, it's better to sign up online.
It is better to sign up online because we're doing news all the time, and there's news all day long, every day, and it's only 30 cents a day, and it is kind of our lifeblood these days. It helps keep us doing what we're doing. And, if you like local journalism and you want us to do these stories, we need to have people support us.
Yeah, Tommy Hicks.
That's one direct way to do it.
His preview of the High school football season with one article after another is basically going to be my cheat sheet all season long.
Yeah.
On TV 44. Thanks for your time, Rob.
I'll take care. Have a great weekend.
You got it.
Yeah, I love how Tommy this year is writing in-depth pieces on players for every team. It's just wild.
Pretty amazing.
So good.
Yeah. I don't think that I'm not going to read them all. 8:51, Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings. What's going on, y'all? Dan and Dalton, team back together. 8:55, Mobile Mornings. Not a bad-looking Thursday morning.
No.
Dr. Bill said the chance of rain is going to ramp up a little bit for the weekend, and we'll have that weekend weather scale tomorrow in the morning on your Friday.
That's tomorrow's Friday. It's been such a long week.
Yeah, where the heck you been?
I'm just ready for the weekend, man. Oh, wait, I had an extended weekend already. A lot of texts to get to as well. Craig says...
ready for the weekend.
I'm ready for the weekend. This has been a long week.
Nobody knows what the weekend feels like better than you.
Craig texted, shut down what? So that's the... and he says, good morning, Bill and Wayne. So we're still on that, Craig.
Yeah. I love that.
The Alabama... something medical and rehab.
South Alabama. Yeah.
South Alabama medical and rehab. The story that Lanyap's been all over, and kind of what we were talking about there, still a lot of unanswered questions, like somebody was tipping off this group, I guess if you want to call it that, basically a medical facility plus attorney. So it's a two-for-one deal, except they get the two and you get the one, I guess, if you're a client of theirs.
Right.
And they were reaching out to... poor folks, basically,
who had
been in accidents
like that day.
Yeah.
So where are they getting that information, right?
Yeah. And so there has to be somebody on the inside. And I don't know if it would make a great Hollywood movie, but we still don't know who was kind of tipping them off.
Right.
That, hey, this so and so person just got into an accident. They probably don't know what they're doing. They would be easy to take advantage of.
Here's their number. Here's their address. And they're fans of Auburn. I mean, they gave them all the information they could.
Texter here says crime can be curtailed very easily. Start executing these damn thugs. Here's the ideal community policing. Get a few good old boys, arm them, and send them to these areas. See, I mean, that's great to project and think about. It's never going to happen. It's just that's not the answer, because it won't be the answer. I mean, I've said it a million times. If we had swift justice, and that justice was extreme for extreme cases, there'd be a lot less of it going on. But because...
We have neither.
This is America in 2025. Yeah. That doesn't happen.
We have neither.
You don't see people put to death for years and years and years and years. It's just part of the deal. And I agree, it would really curtail crime if that was changed. But that ain't going to change. This texter, Jason, says, shouldn't the candidates be talking about lowering taxes and what they can do for the people? I'd like to hear a real plan for Hank Aaron Stadium, too. Yeah, what is the latest on that? What is the latest on Hank?
Remember they found out... after the Bay Bears were long gone, that the city really didn't even own it?
Didn't own the land underneath it.
So weird. Yeah. It's like, we didn't know that? They didn't know that. Okay, April Marie on the way.
April Marie Fogle coming up next. Mobile Mornings in the morning.